presentation certainly fit together real well. I think that together we'll have a good question and answer session. It gives me a great opportunity to introduce you as our next speaker is Dale King. Dale and his wife Nancy own King Livestock, and they have a marketing company as well as a transportation company. So we're talking with a producer or a gentleman here who has hands-on experience and hands-on of facing these challenges and resolving some of these problems. Dale comes from Clarksville, Tennessee, and Dale's on our Feed Quality Shares Advisory Board, and it was a great pleasure. Dale is also a big Kentucky Wildcat fan. He's a skip all the stuff on the Bible, and I'm sure you emphasize that. So, Dale, we're certainly looking forward to your hands-on assessment of this issue. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Gary. I'm glad you had your priority right when we got to Kentucky Basin, all this stuff to list. Fellas, you're looking at a southeastern hillbilly older buyer that's been 44 years in the industry trying to learn the industry and understand it. And guess what? I'm still not there. I still don't have the answers, and things are changing pretty fast. And when I started in 1960, we were doing things a whole lot different today than we were back then. I am excited about the NCBA Transportation Quality Assurance Program we're developing. I think it's probably long overdue. And we don't have the answers. The advisory board and staff don't have the answers. We welcome comments from you guys. You have problems, things we need to address, put it on paper, give it to Gary, give it to Renee. We need help in developing this program. Obviously, for having an auto buying company and a trucking company, I want to have a good reputation. My son's our general manager. It's a family-owned company. And like you say, we've been at it a while. But we want to have a good reputation. So a good buying job can be ruined by poor trucking performance. And we own both. We own the trucks. We own trucks. We have to use outside trucks as well as our own equipment to deliver the cattle that we buy. Now, we're located in the southeast. Most of our loads of cattle will be from 9 to 1,300 miles. So we're at a disadvantage as far as getting the cattle to where most of the cattle fed. Okay, we're going to the processor. We don't have any processors left in the southeast. 5 to 900 miles to get to the processor. So we've got a little distance to move our cattle. And we want to have a good reputation of what we do in our buying company as well as our trucking company. You know, we like to be present. Gary, if you pass these cards out, we like to be, as an order buyer, we like to be present when we're loading cattle. One thing I have learned is this business is not an exacting science. And things change from day to day. Weather conditions, cattle handle different one day to the other. Gary's passing out some loading cards that we use. My wife and I like to be at the delivery of the cattle, sort the cattle, and supervise the loading. We like to cut the cattle on our trailers, put them in small compartments where they don't shift around so much. And we think it's important to be there to get the cattle loaded right. Our customer likes it, makes our customer happy to know that we're there taking care of his business. And also, an important thing of being there, when you get that trucker loaded and he's getting ready to roll somewhere from 9 to 1,300 miles, you spend five to ten minutes with him, encouraging him, pumping him up a little bit, explaining what the customer wants, because a lot of customers are different. Some people want the cattle there as soon as possible. Some of our customers, well, don't want the cattle to come in during the night. They'll let the cattle sit on the trailer 4 or 5 hours before they let you unload. I don't agree with that, but if he's paying the bill, we're trying to suit the customer. So all customers are different. We try to please each person the best of our ability. like I say, we like to spend a little time with this driver, putting him in that truck, asking him to go 900 to 1300 miles. We like him to average 50 miles an hour and get the cattle there. That's a tough job because we want him to get back when he gets through because we'll load him again. And I think, off the record a little bit, Tim, you did a great job. I've heard Tim speak before. Tim really understands our business. You probably had 100 bullet points. We could spend hours or half a day on each one of those. I mean, it's so involved. But Tim has a really understanding of our business. I appreciate being in the trenches every day, seeing what's going on, have someone as young as Tim to understand our industry and our business. He did a good job, Tim. Of course, all of us realize that the driver is the key. And finding that good driver is getting more difficult each year. You've got a good driver, and he's experienced, he's chemical free. You've got half your battle won. And finding that person this day and time is getting harder and harder and harder each year it is, and I don't know what we're going to find down the road. I mean, we can't do without the trucks, and not only our industry. Look, run up down the road. You've got county trucks compared to the cars on the road. There's trucks everywhere. And so while we're developing this program to help what people we have, we don't want to run people off. We want to make people better and try to encourage other people into the industry. So we have to be kind of careful how we're presenting our quality assurance program to the trucking industry. It's a terrible feeling, and I can tell you this, and I've had this, and my son has too, experienced this several times. You've got a day in a real busy time of year with a lot of cattle running, and a lot of people want cattle. You've got already 15 loads of cattle to be bought that day, and you can only find 10 trucks that's suitable that you approve to haul your cattle to your customer. That's a sick feeling for an order buyer. You've got to not buy the cattle. We're not going to buy them and let them stand 2 or 3 days till we get a truck. If we don't have a truck, we're not going to buy the cattle. So we experienced with not enough truckers, not enough good truckers in the Southeast. And that's one reason we have to own our trucks. We laugh about it at home. It's our nonprofit company. So we don't make a lot of money in our trucks. But it is a basic trucks that we have to control the movement of our cattle, particularly when things get tight. You know, like Tim said, most of the trucking companies out there are doing a good job, but not all of them. There's some that need some improvements, and some need to be off the road. But most of them have a hard job, it's a very tough job, and they're doing a good job. Another thing we kind of beware of is a trucker that's constantly cutting his rate. Right now we're paying $2.38 a mile. That varies in the cost of fuel time to time. This fuel's been yo-yo and it's going back up again. We try to be fair, give a trucker a fair rate of what he ought to be paid. And this rate changes according to the price of fuel. But we try to beware of a guy that's always wanting to give us a cut rate. Now, I'm not talking about a backhaul. We can use all the backhaul we can get. He's a good trucker. But a guy's always cutting his rate. There's generally a reason for that. If a guy's doing a good job trucking, people lined up to use him and begging him to be there. So, you know, cheaper's not always the best. You have to be careful. You know, I'll give you a prime example of cheaper not being better. It depends on the circumstance and kind of what you want to achieve. We had a couple back home that took a trip to the Holy Land, and they were over there several days. A man and his wife, and they took his mother-in-law, Gary. And they spent several days over there, and his mother-in-law got deathly sick. In fact, she died with a heart attack. So they took her body to the funeral home, and over there things are more primitive in Israel than they are at home, and of course a lot cheaper. And the funeral director said, "Sir, we can do a real nice conservative funeral and honor your mother-in-law for $500. So now if you have to send her body back to the States, it'll cost you at least $5,000 plus the cost of the funeral. So we'd be glad to help you here in Israel to bury your mother-in-law. He said, no, absolutely not. I said, I want to send her back to the States. Well, the funeral director looked dismayed and said, I don't understand. You're willing to pay over 10 times the amount to bury your mother to send her back to the United States? He said, yes, sir. He said, you know, over 2,000 years ago, y'all killed a man over here and buried him. In 3 days, he came back to life. I don't want to take that chance with my mother. So I'm sending her back. So cheaper is not always better, depends on what you want to accomplish. I think very awareness to our industry that we want improvement in teletransportation is essential. We need to get that word out that we're working on it. If we're going to have success with that, that word's got to be out. It's a proven fact that we have, with the success we've had in our BQA program, with our state coordinator, we can get the message out, we get the right message, that we can make a difference. And I'm encouraged that we can make a difference in our trucking industry. I think through the transportation quality assurance program, we can identify the problems we have and encourage and offer solutions. So I think we're headed in the right direction. You know, and let's face it, we're really the cause of a lot of the problems that we have. And I'm talking myself. A lot of times, the biggest problem I see, and Tim, you talked about this, is lack of communication. You know, we don't explain things we think people understand, and we take things for granted. We need to communicate better with everybody, with the driver, with the customer. You know, I have a dispatcher and running my trucks that's been with me 37 years. And Marlena is one of the best that I know. And I don't know what I'd do without Marlena, but she is very thorough and, over and repeat back to me what I told you. And I think that is a big problem. It's a lack of communication. We're in a hurry to set up loads. We don't explain what the customer wants. So I think that's a problem. And I think we're not thorough enough in telling the driver or the trucker the expectations of the customer. This customer expects you to do this and this and this. We need to go over this and explain this to the driver. We don't tell the driver this, the trucker this. You can't hold him responsible for not doing what you don't tell. So, and another thing, you know, we've loaded, and I've done this many times, it's wrong, we've loaded tired drivers. A guy just gets back on a 2,500 mile turnaround, so we bag him a chute, we load him up, send him back again. I mean, you ask him for trouble right there before you start. Chance for a wreck, cattle going to be turned upside down, or he's going to have poor performance. Or you're going to tempt that driver to do something he shouldn't do and get chemical in the system, and that's a no-no. And like I say, I don't think really, in some situations, the trucking industry doesn't understand the livestock industry. And the livestock industry doesn't understand the trucking industry. And there again, that's where I think our quality assurance, this program we developed, I think will help that people. And I think if we, you know, a lot of times a trucker doesn't understand about bruises. You know, we have young guys coming on, we have big turnover in the truckers, and you get a guy trained, he quits or moves on, or something happens, you've got new guys coming in, you've got to train them all over again. But some of the new guys don't understand, they've never been in a packing house, they've never seen a bruise gauge, they don't understand about bruises, they don't understand about whacking a figure head across the back of a cane, a bruise, and he's going to get sick. If you bruise him and stress him, he's going to get sick. And sickness is a big problem. Health is a big problem in the industry. And that trucker plays a big part in helping that level of sickness and moving transportation of cattle. So I think we all need to understand each other's business better, and I think that will help solve some problems. Now, how can the BQA, how can the quality assurance transportation program helps. It can help everybody understand. You can do that through videos, handouts, through our or program that we're going to present. I think we can help educate the truck owners as well as the drivers. I mean, they both need to understand about what the industry expectations are. Like we said, communicate. I mean, we can't stress that enough because, you know, the driver and the truck owner is not a man, and we can't hold him responsible for things that we don't tell him to expect. And another thing, we run into this occasionally, we don't need to be unreasonable. You know, there's people out there that are unreasonable, they ask the impossible. And so I think all of us need to be able to be reasonable about things and not ask for things that can't be done. And of course, last and most important is all of us need to work together. So I think that's just a few of the comments that I want to make, Gary. I've enjoyed working with the DQA, the advisory board, for several years with Gary, and that's probably one of the most enjoyable things that I've done. We've got a good group of guys with exceptions of one or two, but I think we've done a lot to help the industry. And that's all I had to say. We'll turn it over to you, Gary, and see if there's any questions that I can put on.
Thank you, Gary.